Today's broadcast of Bagels and Blessings has been previously recorded at an earlier time. Shalom Chaverim, that's Hebrew for hello, friends, and Shabbat Shalom, that's Hebrew for Sabbath peace. This is Ethel Chadwick. Welcome to another week of Bagels and Blessings. Today's program is a tribute to Pastor Henry Wright. He passed away suddenly in November, and I had the opportunity to interview him in May of 2010. So any references to an upcoming conference are, of course, not true because it happened in the past, but I believe deeply in all the things that he taught, and I find the spiritual roots of disease fascinating, and I think you're going to enjoy this interview with Pastor Henry Wright, so I hope that you stay tuned, and I'll be right back. Bagels and Blessings is a ministry of Congregation Shema Yisrael. We are a messianic congregation made up of Jews and Gentiles who believe that Jesus, or Yeshua, is the promised Messiah. Our services contain Jewish liturgy and Davidic dancing, and we celebrate the Feasts of Israel. We meet at Wallace Hall, Brighton Presbyterian Church, 1775 East Avenue at 11:30 a.m. on Saturday mornings. Please join us for worship. Shalom, shalom aleichem. Shalom, shalom Yerushalayim. Shalom, shalom Yerushalayim. Shalom, shalom Yerushalayim. Shalom, shalom Yerushalayim. Shalom, 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 Yerushalayim. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Here's Sue Samuel with Barki Nafshi, which comes right out of Psalm 103. Baruchi nafshi et Adonai v'chol kerevai et shem kadsho. Baruchi nafshi et Adonai v'al tishkuhi kol gemulav. Baruchi nafshi et Adonai v'chol kerevai et shem kadsho. Baruchi nafshi et Adonai ve'al tishkuhi kol gemulav. For he forgives all my shame and he heals all my wounds. He redeems from the grave and surrounds me with love. Baruchi nafshi et Adonai v'chol kerevai et shem kadsho. Baruchi nafshi et Adonai ve'al tishkuhi.
Baruchi nafshi et Adonai v'chol kerevai et shem kadsho. remembers his love. My Lord remembers me.
Shalom, this is Sue Samuel, and you are listening to Bagels and Blessings.
Amen. He heals all our diseases. Hallelujah. Another good way to be healthy is to get good chiropractic care. Listen now to this commercial about upper cervical chiropractic.
Have you been looking for a chiropractor in Rochester? Unlike conventional medicine, which focuses on attempting to treat disease once it occurs, the upper cervical chiropractic care offered at Upper Cervical Chiropractic of Rochester emphasizes the importance of improving your health in an effort to reduce the risk of pain and illness in the first place. They will help you express life fully. They have been offering high-quality upper cervical chiropractic care to Rochester and upstate New York since July 2013. With state-of-the-art complete postural cone beam CT scans and complete neurological diagnostic testing equipment, they work to determine if they're what you need to get your life back. If you would like to find out if they can help your next year to be better than the last several, please book a no-charge consultation and initial examination today. Get your life back. Give them a call at 585-474-3739. Upper Cervical Chiropractic Care of Rochester, located at 1280 North Winton Road.
Check them out online at www.uccroc.com and tell them you heard about it on Bagels and Blessings. Well, this year has certainly gone by quickly. Tomorrow night is already the first night of Hanukkah, and Marty Goetz has recorded some beautiful traditional music. This is Ma'otzur, Rock of Ages.
Ma'otzur Yeshuati L'chana El Shabea Tikon Sham toda zabeya liet tachin mad beach mitzor hamna beya azek mor ashir mizmor chan. Amis beyach, azek mor bashir mizmor, chanukah. Amis ages, let our song praise thy saving power. Thou, amidst the raging foe, wast our sheltering tower. Furious they assailed us, but thine armor veiled us, and thy word broke their sword when our own strength failed us, and thy word broke their sword when our own strength failed us.
Our angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Peace on earth and mercy, love, God and sin is reconciled. Yodan Nisabeya Lietachim Matbeya Mitzur Hamnabeya Hazek Mor The Shirmiz Mor Chanukat Hamidbeya Hazek Mor The Shirmiz Mor Chanukat
That's the beauty of being a Jew that knows the truth about Yeshua. You can be a nice Jewish boy like Marty Goetz, and you can sing songs about Hanukkah and Christmas. You know, Jesus or Yeshua is the light of the world. Well, Hanukkah is the festival of lights. And Hanukkah means dedication. And at this season, we rededicate our lives to the Lord. Lots more music coming your way, but next, here's a word about Excellent Air Heating and Cooling.
I'd like to thank Excellent Air Heating and Cooling for sponsoring Bagels and Blessings. Give them a call today at 585-889-7840. They're a family-owned and operated business. Their prices are fantastic. They will take care of your air conditioner in the summer and your furnace in the winter. Give them a call today because they love the Lord and they are excellent. Excellent Air Heating and Cooling, 585-889-7840.
And now, here's Liberated Wailing Wall. Oh, I just love this season.
For unto us a child is born, a son is given to rule the nations. For unto us a child is born, a son is given to us. For unto us a child is born,
again, that was Liberated Wailing Wall. You know, growing up as a nice little Jewish girl in Richmond, Virginia, there was so much that I didn't know. For example, I didn't know that right there in my Jewish Bible, in Isaiah 9, verse 6, it said, "For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this." Right in my Jewish Bible. I never knew. Oh, how exciting to be a Jew who knows the truth about Jesus, Yeshua the Messiah. At Hanukkah, they spin dreidels, and the dreidels have Hebrew letters on each side. The letters stand for Nes Gadol Hayah Shem. A great miracle happened there. Here's Kira Goldman.
Light up your lights and keep your candles burning these 8 nights. put them in the window and let the whole world know that I'm Yisrael Chai. This is a glowing sign of who we've been from ancient times and how the nation revolted, liberated, purified and dedicated. Now it's a celebration. Light up your life and shine especially for these 8 nights. You are the window to another way to go. Who's your hope? You say the Most High. We have the light of Hashem. It shines as bright as it did then. Revolt against the darkness. The dedication is when the heart is all for Him. When they see us, let them say, Nes Gadol Hayasham. When they see us, let them say, Nes Gadol Hayasham, Nes Gadol Hayasham. When they see us, let them say, Nes Gadol Hayasham, Nes Gadol Hayasham, Nes Gadol Hayasham.
Wow, what a great song from Kira Goldman. I love it, I love it. Hey guys, you know how sometimes you're looking for a plumber or you're looking for someone to fix your roof? May I suggest you go to thegoodnewsnewyork.com. It's your local Christian magazine in New York State, and they have all kinds of interesting articles and news all around the area, and they have a listing of everything you could need to fix your kitchen sink or your carpet or your bedroom or whatever you need. TheGoodNewsNewYork.com. I highly recommend that you look them up. In the meantime, here's a little bit about Europa Cafe.
If you're hungry and in the mood for something different, I highly recommend the Europa Cafe in Delhi. It's at 1694 Penfield Road. They're open Mondays, Tuesdays, Saturdays from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Wednesdays and Fridays from 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. Europa Deli is a gourmet food store that specializes in European foods from countries such as Russia, Ukraine, Moldova, Bulgaria, Germany, Poland, ex-Yugoslavia, and more. They have an extensive variety of imported foods, smoked meats, seafood, cheese, pastries, and more. Their cafe and bakery has the most delicious baked items. You just have to try it. Europa Cafe and Deli, 1694 Penfield Road. Call them at 585-385-2040. Come in and tell them that you heard about it on Bagels and Blessings. Shalom.
Bagels and Blessings is a ministry of Shema Yisrael Messianic Congregation. Your tax-deductible contributions will help keep this program on the air. Make checks out to Shema Yisrael, that's S-H-E-M-A-Y-I-S-R-A-E-L, and please put Bagels and Blessings on the memo portion of your check. Send your contributions to Bagels and Blessings, Post Office Box 192, Scottsville, New York, 14546-0192. And come and experience Messianic worship in person Saturday mornings at 11:30 at Brighton Presbyterian Church, Wallace Hall, 1775 East Avenue, across from Wegmans.
As I stated in the beginning of the program, today's program is pre-recorded, so there won't be a contest today. But I do plan on being in the studio next week, and I hope you're going to all call. Lately, I haven't gotten as many calls as I would like. And remember, it keeps me really happy when you call. That's how I know you're listening. But right now, I'm so excited to bring you this interview that I did with Pastor Henry Wright back in 2010. Now remember, you're going to hear references to a conference. This conference took place a long time ago, darling, a long time ago. This is a pre-recorded interview that I did in 2010. So any references to an upcoming conference don't apply at this point. But as I said before, Pastor Wright unexpectedly died last month, and I just wanted to pay tribute to him. He was a really sweet man, and he had some very interesting things to say about the spiritual roots of disease. And so let's enjoy this interview now. It is my pleasure to welcome Henry Wright to Bagels and Blessings. Shalom, Henry. Are you with me?
Good morning, Ethel. I'm ready for my bagel.
Well, okay, here it comes. There you go.
Right. That's good stuff.
Well, as we say in my circles, Shabbat Shalom, Sabbath peace to you.
Oh, thank you. Back to you.
Oh, well, thank you. I received that. I am very excited to be talking to you. I have begun to read your book very slowly because there's so much, and it's like every other word I want to underline, so it's a very slow process, but I'm looking at it a more excellent way. Be in health. Henry, my first question to you, and I have so many, is how did you even get interested in healing? Like, you, I know you've got a story, so would you like to tell us how that happened?
Well, I began to pastor back in the 80s, and I believe that God could and would heal today. And yet in the process of applying the scriptures, I wasn't having very much success, and less than 5%. And I was stuck with a very big scripture in Psalms 103, verse 3, that He is a Lord that forgives us of all of our iniquities and heals us of all of our diseases.
Uh-huh.
I got stuck with a very big theological word, A-L-L. And as I began to process the failure, see, I began in ministry in failure, not success.
Oh.
And I began to find out it really, when healing doesn't work, it's really not a God problem. It's a mankind problem. And I began the journey of study of scriptures and also science, psychiatric science, biological science, to look at the human arena to see what in the world is going on here.
Mm.
And as I began to look down through the theological scriptures, I began to find that healing can be conditional to obedience. And boy, was that a shocker to see, that if I did not practice forgiveness, if I did not practice faith, if I did not love my brother, if that, and the list goes on, there was a biological consequence. And I not only saw that in Scripture, I actually began to see it in science. And I saw the medical community saw the direct connection, especially between fear, anxiety, and stress, and dozens and dozens of diseases.
Oh, that is
so I began to get involved in people's lives and get them to get changed. And boy, things began to happen for the better.
Mm. You know, Henry, the question people give me all the time when I talk about your book, they say, why isn't everyone healed? And then they say, well, what about the atheist or the agnostic who's walking around apparently extremely healthy, and I don't know how to answer them?
Mm. Well, first of all, the question should be asked then why isn't everyone saved?
Mm.
I mean, why ask, why isn't everyone healed? Why don't we ask, why isn't everyone saved? Because didn't the cross provide for both?
Yes.
All right. So there are people just don't get it. There are people just will not understand how God thinks, and so on. The next thing, people ask me that all the time.
I'm sure.
Well, how come the unsaved is in better health than I am?
Exactly.
And my answer, they don't like. My answer is always the same, because that unsaved person is more righteous than you are.
Ooh, explain.
Well, I mean, you know, I assume because we gave our life to God, we automatically assumed we didn't bring any junk with us.
Ah.
You know, there are unsaved people that practice righteous deeds according to their conscience, and there is a benefit when you practice God's commandments.
That's such an interesting point. I see that all the time. My husband and I talk about that.
Yeah, the rain falls on the just and the unjust. And you know, I've seen, and I like to say this because it makes the point, I've seen unsaved men love their wives dearly. I've seen saved men verbally and physically abuse their wives. So what's the difference? And so there is a consequence to righteousness and unrighteousness for the saved and the unsaved. And that's something that, well, I don't know. I think we Christians believe that because we gave our life to God, we suddenly were sinless. Now we have the opportunity now to be sanctified and to overcome, where before we never had a shot at this. So it's a big theological debate more than it is anything else. And so rather than get webbed in the theological debates and the what-ifs, why don't we just go to work and bring God here properly?
Amen. I'm so with you on that. I really am. People get so caught up in stuff instead of just focusing on who is Jesus, or in the Jewish circles, the Messianic Jews, we call him Yeshua. Same thing. Just focus on who is he and what is he doing for you instead of all this other stuff.
Well, I'll tell you what Yeshua said. He said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments.
Amen.
And in the Torah, in Exodus chapter 20, verse 6, the Lord said that if you love me and keep my commandments, then I will provide blessings to thousands. So whether it's the Old Covenant or the New Covenant, the message is still the same. We've got to say amen to the amen.
Amen.
When he said, love your neighbor as yourself, that's exactly what he meant.
From what I've seen in your book so far, it seems, and I've noticed this in my 56 years on this earth, that there's a lot of people running around, Henry, and you know this, you've seen this, that don't love themselves. Isn't that part of the problem?
Oh my goodness, the diseases that are coming out of self-accusation, self-hatred, self-rejection are a plague. All autoimmune diseases, and there are dozens of them, all rooted in self versus self-rejection accusation.
And Henry, there's so much to cover in such a short time. I'm wondering, for the doubters and the people that are so confused, I know you can clear this up once and for all. There's this, you know, you've heard it, you've heard it 1,000 times, this whole thing about the, you're responsible for your own sins, your own teeth will be set on edge, this whole thing about generational sin, generational curses. I understand it. I really believe I understand it. But for those people out there that are all confused, Henry, I know you got the answer.
Well, I don't know that I have the answer.
I do.
I assume. Thanks.
Anytime. Have another bagel.
I'm not a theologian, first of all. I'm just an observer. That gets me off the hook.
Amen.
I'm not trying to come across as if I was absolutely had this under control. But what they're really referring to, I assume, is like in Ezekiel chapter 18, when it deals with the father and his son's issues. And there's two parts to that. The first part is the son shall not die or be killed because of his father was a murderer, so he didn't kill his son. The other part is dealing with personal responsibility for sin, whether you're the father, the son, or you're the righteous, the unrighteous. So you have to read down through the whole chapter of Ezekiel to get the picture of this thing.
Mm-hmm.
For those that say that the children cannot be carriers of the iniquity of the fathers, and it doesn't say sins, it says iniquities, and there's a difference.
Yes, because doesn't iniquity imply tendency?
Iniquity implies, if I look at the words iniquities means the transference from generation to generation, where sin is specific to a generation.
Ah, that's a very good point. The distinguishing.
Well, it is.
Yes.
Well, it is. And because, you know, when we look down at what the Israelites did when they came back into the land of promise and the decree of Cyrus, when Ezra the high priest read the reading of the word, they understood what happened to their parents and grandparents, and they saw the same things in their life. And the reason I know that is because they stood there and confessed their sins and the iniquities of their fathers. You know, over in Exodus chapter 20, verse 5, in the preamble to the Ten Commandments in the Torah, it says the iniquities of the fathers shall be visited to the third and fourth generation. Over the prophet Hosea, in chapter 4, verse 6, it says that God's people who know God's word but refuse to do it, that not only shall they be rejected by God, because God only honors his word, not the disobedience to it, and he says, and he will forget their children. So there's enough information that we have here theologically that there's a consequence that may be headed to our children and grandchildren's way. Now, if we're not sure about that, and we want to get into the big argument, I want to cut through this quickly and say to those that want to argue the point, then you define to me the source of genetic impurity.
Genetic what? I'm sorry.
Genetic impurity, a genetic defect.
Uh-huh.
Because everyone says that their children aren't carriers of something that was in them or their grandfathers. I can give you over 800 to 900 different diseases in mankind, including Christians, that they have, their grandparents had, and their children and grandchildren also still have the same genetic defect. And I want to say something clearly. God did not create mankind genetically deformed. That's the product of disobedience to God over the generations.
I believe that.
Well, that's what I see. And we must get our head of the sand and admit that we have things in our family trees that aren't from heaven.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I can see that in my own life. I know that I have to repent and renounce spirit of fear and anxiety and nervousness because my mother was like that, her mother was like that. So people can call it anything they want to call it, but I see the effect of my own life, and I'm dealing with that now. And I know there are other people that have that same situation. There's things that they know that they are like, their mother was like, their grandmother was like, and so on.
You know what's really funny? Some Christians get all bristled up when I suggest that they need to look at their family tree in order to get well themselves. And they get all bristled up and want to get into an argument. But when they go to the doctor with these diseases, in the intake at the reception desk, they have to fill out the form about their family tree.
Oh, sure.
They don't have a bitter problem talking about these things that are in their family tree until a spiritual leader comes along and asks them the same question. So, you know, we've got this big debate. One other thing, you mentioned in your discussion about your life and your family, what you're just talking about is not genetically inherited, it is spiritually inherited. Secular psychologists in their studies have recognized that there are personality characteristics that follow family trees that are non-genetic. Criminologists know there are crime families, there are molesting families. So it doesn't take long to look around and see these patterns. We might as well just face it and defeat it.
Amen. You know,
rather than argue about it.
Based on what you just said, I remember one time going to a doctor, and I must have been discussing nervousness or something or anxiety, and this doctor said, "Show me a nervous child and I'll show you a nervous mother." He said that.
Well, I'll give you another observation. I've been in ministry for over a quarter of a century. It makes me sound ancient, doesn't it?
Nah.
I have seen in ministry, when I've ministered to a parent, some things in their life that weren't of God, that when that parent made the change, made Jesus Lord, and got that junk out of their life, I've seen their children instantly healed without any prayer occurring. Now, that's something very interesting to observe when it happens.
Oh, my. Wow. I just want to interject that one of the reasons why I have Henry Wright on the air with me right now is that at Shema Yisrael, we are having a 3-day workshop. It's called Be in Health. And I think we have a few seats left. If you go to beinhealth.com, go to conferences, you can see the one that's going to be at Shema Yisrael, April 7th, 8th, and 9th. Henry, what can we expect from this conference?
Well, the conferences that I do are designed to give insight. Even the Book of More Excellent Way, which, by the way, is a top-selling Christian book in North America. This month in health and fitness in North American retailing, it's number 3. But it's been the top 10 Christian best-selling books on health.
I love it.
For 4 straight years. But we'll talk about the theology of disease. We'll talk about the theology of healing. We'll talk about the theology of disease prevention. We'll give examples of diseases, pathways, how temptation produces disease, the origin of our thoughts, spirit-soul-body connection. We'll talk about specific classes of diseases. And so it's going to be really filled with a lot of insight into the Bible, plus the correct understanding of psychiatry and also the pathology of many diseases. So with a special emphasis on cancer and disease prevention, there's just a lot of things that we'll talk about in those. It were 3 days, so that's a lot of Henry.
For those of us listening to the program right now, we can sort of whet their appetite a little bit. Can we talk a little bit about what are some of the blockages to healing? Why do you think some people are not getting healed?
Well, the first block to healing in the Book of Miraculous Way, and there are 33 that are listed there. There are more, but that's a good start. The first block to healing is unforgiveness. You know, why in the world would we ask God to meet us in an area when we won't offer the same thing to others? I've learned something about this business of covenant. We're not going to get a whole lot long-term from God, from heaven, that we're not prepared to give away to others. Now, we find this built deeply into the Lord's Prayer. Father, forgive us our trespass. And we read through this just like it was driving the interstate at 100 miles an hour. We don't stop and think about what we just said. Father, forgive us our trespasses as, or in direct relationship to, how we forgive others their trespasses. So right here is a fulcrum. Father, forgive us our trespasses to the same degree that we're forgiving others their trespasses. You get over to Mark 11, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, and also Matthew 6, 15. It bluntly says that if we do not forgive others their trespasses or sins, our Father will not forgive us ours. Now, this is a very serious block to healing. I need all the forgiveness I can get from God, but I must be prepared to be like my Father, be perfect like he is, to this degree, that if God, who is greater than I, is prepared to forgive all manner of sin and forget it, then as his son by faith, I must learn the ways of my Father and be the same.
What do you say to the person, Henry, that says, well, I've tried to forgive him or her, and I just can't do it?
Well, you made the person one with sin. You know, if we can understand something, that what motivates people may not be their own psychology. They may have yielded to temptation. It may be numbers of things. We have a right to hate the evil that people do to us. In fact, we have a right to hate sin. But we don't have the right to hate the person. Could we exchange this bitterness for compassion? You know, you can't help one person you just killed. There's just no way that we can help somebody. And yet God has called us to make a difference, be salt, be light, and make a difference. And he'll even make our enemies to be at peace with us. So I think we really have to understand that in forgiving others, it's not condoning it. It's understanding that they themselves are a victim of sin, and they need compassion from us in it.
Amen. And Henry, I have to ask you another question that comes across my path, and I'm sure it's come across your path a million times. What do you say about babies and little children that get diseases and die? What do we do with that?
Well, that's the question where God gets accused.
Yep.
You know, I have to say this to you. That the consequences of the fall of Adam and Eve are still in the earth. And sin and its consequences and genetic defect and congenital defect is built into the package until Messiah comes. The Bible says that the righteous scarcely be saved. What is the state of the unrighteous? All of creation is groaning in travail, and we, the first fruits of promise, groan with it. So We're in a world that is under a major penalty of sin, and there's consequences. The good news is this: sidestepping the what ifs, because many of this is congenital. It's many things. The good news is this: to the ears of understanding, every child that would succumb to death prematurely will be part of the first resurrection, because children that die and are not held accountable for things they don't know, Unfortunately, we lose them, but you have to understand that all children are the planning of the Lord. And if we don't have an eternal perspective of what happens after death, then all we have are these type of questions. I tell parents all the time as a pastor that loses a child prematurely through accidents or whatever, the good news is this. King David set the standard. When his child died, he threw a party. And his servants were really upset with him. And they said, "Why are you so happy?" He said, "When my child was dying, I was in sackcloth and ashes. But now that my child has died, I rejoice because I know that where he went, I will go also."
Oh.
And here's the great promise of the resurrection built right into David.
Mm, praise God. Just want to remind my listeners, this is Ethel Chadwick. You're listening to Bagels and Blessings. I have Henry Wright on the phone. And go to beinhealth.com. We have a few seats left. We're having a healing workshop. I guess that's what you call it. Am I saying the right thing?
Well, I'm told by my team that the conference is booked out solid.
Really? Okay, then.
However, what I would do, if you're listening, is if you come online, it shows, in fact, they're sending people over to the conference in Tolland, Connecticut, the very next week. But I would say this. Sometimes people don't show up that register because of circumstances or they're sick. What I would do, rather than just at this point, try to register online and go through that frustration. Just show up.
Yeah, if we can't seat you, we'll turn you away, but hopefully that won't happen. So that's going to be at Shema Yisrael, 1326 North Winton Road, April 7th, 8th, and 9th. That's a Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. Henry Wright will be here in person, and I'm very excited.
Me too.
I can tell.
No, it's wonderful to offer people hope.
Oh, yes.
You know, I find people all over the place trying to prove to me that God gives people disease.
Oh.
I want to tell you something.
Tell me.
God's not trying to kill us.
No way.
If he was trying to kill us, why in the world did he send the living word to come in the flesh to do just the opposite? Jesus said, "I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly."
Mm.
And the theme of 3 John verse 2 is, "Dearly beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers."
Amen.
Is it God's will? I just quoted you the scripture.
Mm, I love it. Henry, I'm wondering, is there something that we should be doing that would prevent disease?
Oh, absolutely. In the Torah, in Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 11, it is very clear. God said, "If you'll hear what I said, and keep my commandments, then I'll allow none of these evil diseases of Egypt to come upon you." The principles of God's mind, his personality, his glory, his nature, if we'll begin to allow God to form his nature in us and in disease, and God has really helped a lot of people through our ministry. Thousands of people are well today. Because they understood the covenant. They understood cause and effect. They understand pathways of righteousness versus unrighteousness. And when they make Jesus Lord again and come into agreement with God in the earth, God is more than happy to keep covenant and to heal them and to deliver them. However, the same principles that we teach that will move the hand of God to help the person are the same principles that we're teaching that if a person begins to apply these principles to their life, many of the diseases that were headed their way will never come to them in a lifetime. And disease prevention should be the frontier that we embark on immediately. Healing is a bonus. Disease prevention is the goal.
Mm. I'm wondering if anybody's ever asked you about your own health. Since you have learned these principles and you apply them in your own life, has it affected your own health?
Oh, my goodness.
what a question. Oy vey.
I can wear you out. I'm doing a conference there in Rochester for 3 days. I'll wear you out.
Try me.
you told your age a while ago, and I was really impressed that you did that.
Oh, why not? What the heck?
Yeah, I'll be 66 this fall.
10 years. You were 10 years old when I was born.
I'm in perfect health. I'm not bragging. I'm giving
Praise God.
When I was younger, before I was saved, I was a walking hypochondriac.
Oh.
No hope, you know. So, you know, I have no known diseases today. And in fact, I went through a physical for our, what they call a key man in our corporate. We have, we're a small ministry, but we still have 65 full-time employees. So we're, you know, I've got an organization running here, so everybody gets nervous about people my age living or dying. So the industry insisted I have key man insurance, and they sent somebody in with all these little machines and stuff to do testing on me, and they did all that. They came back in 2 weeks and said, the insurance company turns you down. I said, why? Nobody your age can be in this good of health. They said there's a mistake. They want to do the test all over again. And they did it again, and they went back and said, and in fact, the gal that was doing the testing, when she did my heart with the EKG, she said, I've never, ever seen one, with a person with this strong of a heart. And I said, well, you know, God's good, and I know the principles of life. I would say anyone, if you're interested in longevity, read Proverbs. Keeping his word is one of the first steps to long life.
That sounds wonderful.
Yeah.
I'm so encouraged. I really am. It all makes so much sense. And I'll tell you what I like about the book, A More Excellent Way. I like the fact that every other sentence is scripture. There's nothing offensive. There's nothing that goes against the word of God. It all lines up, and it makes so much sense.
Well, it should, because God's the only sanity we have. If I try to tell you something and I can't prove it, that is how God thinks, then it's barely humanism. I don't know a thing that I haven't found in Scripture that's important.
Well, I just really look forward to having you come. Before we end the broadcast, I cannot believe how fast this has gone.
I know.
Tell me if there's a way that we can be praying for you. You give out so much of yourself. You probably never, well, I don't know if you do or you don't, ask anybody to pray for you, but I'm going to come right out there because I'm not like everybody else. You'll find that out. How can we be praying for you?
I want you to pray for me very specifically, and I want to give an example of the difficulty Jesus had when he taught in his hometown.
Okay.
When he went to his hometown and he began to teach and minister, he did no great miracles there, because great was their unbelief and doubt.
Yes.
It wasn't that he couldn't, the people's heart would not open. I want you to pray that in this conference that we're coming to in Rochester, that our Father will open the hearts of the people, not to debate, not to argue, not to bring denominational catechisms of disagreement, but to simply come and be Berean and open their hearts and spend 3 days with me. At the end of 3 days, I promise you, it will be a good meal. And that's what I hope you pray, that hearts will be open.
May it be so in Yeshua's name. May we be just ready to hear from the Word of God. And I also want to pray for traveling mercies for you, that the angels would surround you and that you would get here safely and that you would have all the rest and energy that you need. And, oh, this has been amazing. And I would love to have you on the air with me again, and I'm very excited about meeting you in person, and I hope that I can be a blessing to you, that we can all be a blessing to you when you come to Shema Yisrael.
I'm looking forward to it, and I'm excited about what God will do in Rochester.
Amen. Thank you, Henry, for being my guest today, and I'm just more encouraged than ever, and I pray that you are more encouraged as well.
I am. It's been a delightful interview.
Thank you. Well, Shabbat Shalom, and I'll be seeing you in just a week and a half or so.
I'll be there.
Thank you so much. God bless you.
This is Ethel Chadwick. Thank you so much for listening to Bagels and Blessings. What a wonderful interview with Pastor Henry Wright. And you know, even though this conference occurred a long time ago in Rochester, there was one recently with a couple of gentlemen who are with the organization, and we had a weekend conference. You can go to beinhealth.com right now, and you will see a list of conferences. There are conferences in January in California, and also there's one in Phoenix, Arizona, in Dallas, Texas, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, January 25th. So go ahead and go to beinhealth.com for more information on upcoming conferences. But it's a wonderful ministry, and I think we all need to be aware of the spiritual roots of disease. So this is Ethel Chadwick again. Thank you for listening. And we have time for more music. You know, Ted Pierce recently recorded a Christmas song based on Isaiah 9, of course. That's the magical chapter in the Jewish Bible. Here it is.
But there will be no more gloom for her who was in anguish, as Zebulun and Naphtali were treated with contempt. For in that day he has made it glorious by the way of the sea, across the Jordan in the Galilee. The people who walked in the shadows have seen a great light. Those who lived in the dark land, the light has shined on them. He will break the yoke of their burdens, for unto us a child has been born, unto us a son has been given, and the government will rest upon his shoulders, and his name will be called Mighty God, Eternal Father, Shalom. Thou shalt multiply their joy, thou shalt increase their gladness. They will be glad to come into thy presence, as with the gladness of harvest has been rejoiced when they divide the spoil. For unto us a child has been born, unto us a son has been given, and the government will rest upon his shoulders, and his name will be called Mighty God, Eternal Father, Shalom.
This is Ted Pierce coming to you live from the Bagels and Blessings Convention in Pennsylvania. You are listening to the greatest show on radio, and aren't you glad?
And now here's a beautiful Hanukkah song from Marty Goetz.
Make my life your temple, Lord. At this season's start, to pull down every idol I have raised up in my heart. On this Hanukkah, on this feast of dedication, I dedicate myself to you. Take my defiled altar, come and cleanse and come repair. So every time I falter, I can run to meet you there on this Hanukkah.
dedication, I dedicate myself to you. And with every candle on the menorah that illuminates the night, comes a prayer you'd kindle in me, Yeshua, a desire for your fire, for your light. Oh, make of my mortal body a house worthy of your name. Rid me of what's ungodly and every hidden thing of shame on this heart.
Yivarechech Adonai v'yismorecha. Yair Adonai panav alecha v'ikunecha. Yisa Adonai panav alecha v'yasem lecha shalom.
Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. This is Ethel Chadwick saying Shalom Aleichem, peace be with you. Remember, every day of your life is an opportunity to be a blessing to someone. Thank you so much for listening to Bagels and Blessings. Shalom.